worship the good, good Father that we have. Amen.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hey!
Thank you. I sought the Lord and he heard. So I will take heart and dance.
Well, good morning. Welcome. We're so glad to have you here with us this morning. Dad's happy Father's Day. I hope that you were able to grab a donut. I know I did, and then some of my kids got two, and I'm like, what are you doing? But we're excited to have you here with us. We got a couple announcements real quick. On July 7th, if you have never been water baptized and you would like to be, we would love to celebrate with you. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back there, and then someone will reach out to you with some more information. On June 30th, we have one big family Sunday, which is one of our favorite Sundays around here. All the kids will be up with us, but we're also going to do a baby dedication. So if you have a baby that or a young child that you would like to dedicate to the Lord, there's also a sign-up sheet in the back for that as well. This Wednesday after church, we're going to have hot dogs and s'mores, which will be really fun. So if you want to bring a lawn chair and hang out after church, we would love to have you. And then VBS starts next Sunday. It's the 23rd through the 25th. And I know my kids are really excited about that. We would love for you to bring your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids, any kids. We want to teach them about Jesus, right? So we want to fill this place up with as many kids as we can, and we're all really excited. I know there's a lot of people who are putting in a lot of hours this week to make it special, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And with that, tomorrow we are going to be flyering this neighborhood. So if you feel led to just pass the word with us. We're going to meet here at 5:45, and I really think it's only going to take about 45 minutes. So if that interests you, just come and meet here, and we'll pray real quick before we go out, and then just flyer the neighborhood. So there's one of these was on everyone's seats. If you want to take that and give it to a kid that you know in your area, or just put it on your fridge so you don't forget, we would love for you to do that as well.
And again, VBS starts next Sunday. And Heroes of the Faith, and they'll be talking the first night about David and Goliath, second night about Queen Esther, and then Tuesday night finishing up with the greatest hero, and that is Jesus. So make sure your kids are out here for this. Again, it's 4 years old, potty trained up through fifth grade, and we're looking forward to a great time with that. Again, so if you can help flyer tomorrow night, that would be wonderful. Just hit our neighborhood, see Samara after church about that. Also, don't forget, the last Sunday of this month, June 30th, 2 weeks from today, it's a fifth Sunday. That means a one big family Sunday. In other words, all of our kids are with us for the service. They help us with the service. But that day, there'll also be a baby dedication. So if you have a little one that's never been dedicated unto the Lord, we'd like to do that on that Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet at the back for that. And we'll take care of it that day. If you have questions, you can see me. Again, I think Samara mentioned it, water baptism, July the 7th. So if you've never been water baptized in accordance with the commands of Jesus, please sign up at the back for that, and we will take care of that. And last but not least, today is the collection day of the Sycamore House fundraiser with the baby bottles. So I'm assuming they'll take the stragglers as they come in. But if you have it today, please get it to Mike. He's going to collect those and take those over there for us. And if you participated, thank you so much for doing that and supporting what the Sycamore House does in town. So let's take up tithe and offering. If you have something to give today, the offering envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. If not, one of the ushers has them. And they also have prayer cards, by the way. So if you have a prayer need, we'd love to join in faith with you about that prayer, that need. So please ask for one of those, fill it out, get it to myself or one of the ushers, and we will take those to prayer. So as you're getting your giving ready, just to tell you, we appreciate your giving, your faithfulness, and all that it means to our church, that you support the church and all the things that not only benefit to you, but those around you. As the finances come in, we pray over it for good stewardship, that we do the things the Lord would have us do with the money that comes in, and that God then does above and beyond what we could even ask or think with what comes in and what he does for the kingdom. Amen? So let me pray over it, and if you have something, you can bring it down to these baskets. Lord, we thank you as we continue our worship and our giving, that you are so faithful to us, to each one of us, so faithful. And Lord, as you bless us in so many different areas of our lives, Lord, we know that you're the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. You're the one that provides. You give us this day our daily bread. And not just that, Lord, an increase so we can in turn ourselves be givers and have your nature in us that you have freely given, so we do also in all aspects of our life, including our finances, Lord. And I pray as we give today, again, just constantly a reminder of your goodness and your faithfulness And we thank you for those things in our lives. In Jesus' name we all say. Amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. And while they're doing that, you get your Bibles out. So I hope you brought your word today. If you didn't, that's okay. We'll put the verses on the screen for you. But if you have your Bible, Psalm chapter 18. If you'll turn to Psalm 18, we'll get there in just a moment together. As you know, every now and then, a lot of times when I'm in between a series, I like to come and take time with you in a psalm. Listen to me. Everybody listen to what I'm about to say. If you got your Bibles turned in and look at me. The psalms are good for your soul. They're good for you. And you know, my encouragement to you has always been that whatever plan you use, whatever formula you follow in your daily scripture reading, that read a psalm a day also, because they're good for you. The psalms were the prayer book. The psalms were the song book of the Israelite community, but also for the early church. And there's a reason that they knew the psalms. Listen, the psalms, of all the places in scripture, the psalms are well-tread paths. People through the centuries have spent a lot of time in the psalms because they're good for you. And so what I thought, we just finished our series on the kingdom of God a couple weeks ago, and I did sort of a one-off message last week. I wanted to jump into a psalm today. Now, if you read a psalm a day, we are today in the 168th day of the year. We're getting close to halfway through the year. Can you believe that? I mean, might as well start getting your Christmas decorations out. So, kidding. We're almost halfway through the year. The 168th day. Now, if you know, there's 150 psalms. So if you read a psalm a day, when you hit Psalm 150, you start over Psalm 1 on the 151st day. So today, the psalm of the day, if you read a psalm a day through the year, Psalm 18, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. But I want to encourage you today. And my heart is, and a lot of times if I'm not doing something or busy on Saturday night, I pull out my notes for Sunday morning. Just look over them, just make sure I know what I'm talking about before I get here on Sunday morning. But I didn't even pull it out last night, but I was looking forward to this morning because I wanted to encourage you today. And I hope when you leave today, your heart is full and you feel encouraged. Now, listen to me. We believe in you. We love you. Okay? Understand that. And I believe that if we allow the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives in the way he intends, we will find ourselves in consistent places of encouragement. Now, before I get into Psalm 18, let me just say this. Some of you need to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, here's one thing I know. You are never alone. Amen. You're never alone. Not only for the fact of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, but if you attend the community of faith, you are never alone. But also do know this, even though you're never alone, sometimes you feel alone. How many know what I'm saying? And you sometimes face things in your life that it's hard to express to another in a way that you think they get it. How many know what I mean by that? Here's the thing. Because of that, you must learn how to encourage yourself. Let that set in on you for a second. Is the Holy Spirit with you? Is he with you?
Yes.
Do you not have the word in your hand? Do you not have it? You do. And even though you're never alone, so don't ever say, I'm just alone. That's not true. Don't lie to yourself. But at the same time, when you do feel alone anyway, learn how to encourage yourself because you can, because the Holy Spirit's with you and you have the word. One of the reasons I think it's important for you to be in a psalm every day is because the psalms will teach you to encourage yourself. If all you ever do is wait for somebody to give you a word, you may find yourself in several discouraging days until something catches up to you. See, the church is intended for reasons. Yes, we are to encourage one another and build one another up. But my goodness, sometimes you find yourself in a dark valley. And you've got to learn in those moments to learn to stand firm in Jesus yourself. And you may have expressed to somebody else what you're going through, and they're just like, okay, let me pray for you. And their prayers work and they're good, but you're just like, you've got to learn to encourage yourself and find strength in you leaning on him. So in other words, if you consistently find yourself in a place where you just always feel like you're underneath it, you know what I mean by that? It doesn't feel like you're ever getting ahead. It feels like it's one thing after another. Learn to encourage yourself. Because you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can find yourself not in those times more than the other way that you are in encouragement. That here's the thing. And the psalm kind of highlights this today. You will find yourself in distressful moments in life. You will, because you live life. If you ever hear somebody say, I just never go through anything. Either you're a liar or you just lock yourself in your house and don't do anything. And that by itself is a problem. You're distressed and you don't know it. You will go through it. But learning how to encourage yourself in those moments with the Spirit will mean everything. You see what I'm getting at? Anyway, Psalm 18. It actually kind of has three kind of sections to it. It's a psalm of David, a song, actually. Sometimes the English translation, when it comes from the original language, it loses some of the lyrical cadence to it. But this is a song of David when he is delivered from his enemies, maybe even specifically Saul. It says this. We're going to just read down through verse 29. I want to come back to it a little bit. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God, and I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and it rocked, and the foundations also of the mountains trembled, and they quaked because he was angry. And smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, and glowing coals flamed forth from him. And he bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and he flew, and he came swiftly on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. And out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. And hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, and he took me. And he drew me out of many waters. And he rescued me from my strong enemy, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp, for the Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Amen. I encourage you to read the rest of that psalm at another time. A psalm of David in time of distress. God is David's deliverer. But I love the way David starts this psalm. Before he begins to recount the wonderful thing that God did for him, I like that this great warrior David, by the way, the David who was, even as a young man, a man. Guy killed a lion and a bear with a slingshot, probably. That's sort of like a man's man. I do a lot of hiking, and I know when you see a bear, you don't go to the bear. Not a good idea. You stay away from the bear. But the bear, probably, the lion was threatening the flock of sheep he was guarding, most likely, and he killed them. This young teenage boy slew the great warrior Goliath. When the armies of Israel kind of encamped and didn't want to go out to meet this man, here comes this young boy, teenager out there, and he slays Goliath again, a slingshot. He's a marksman. David went on to do incredible feats of military might. The guy was a man's man. If you know what I mean by that. But yet, look what he says in the opening of the psalm. I love you, O Lord, my strength. See, David, even though he did the things that he did, still expressed a loving intimacy with his God. David understood that in all the things that he did, it wasn't because he was the man's man, it was because God was his strength. And there we find the deep levels of humility of David's heart. See, if I would have a desire for you this morning, we could just read the very first verse of Psalm 18, and we could spend the rest of the time there, and we could stop there. I would encourage you to consistently grow in your love for God. And know that he is your strength, even if on Father's Day you consider yourself a man's man. That there is nobody, including a guy like David, who ought to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Now, he sees himself with the perspective of, God is my strength, and God is my source. And then to express an intimacy of love with his father. That we as a people, and I encourage you in this, that we as a people would learn to be intimate with God. He will draw as close to you as you allow. That you simply learn to pay attention to him. And learn to live within his goodness. You see, God is our strength. And as Paul wrote later, even when we are weak, therefore we find ourselves strong. You don't have to turn there, but let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul writes, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, the strength of God is a strength that you will find nowhere else. He is our strength. And if you always try to look to yourself for strength, you will always fall short, especially in times of distress. That we must, in humility, learn to lean on him. As we'll find out in a few moments, to cry out to him. That even when we are weak, we find ourselves strong. How many of you have ever found moments in your life where you just simply felt weak? Anybody? I know I have. Have you ever found a time in your life when you don't feel like you have the answer right at the moment? Anybody ever feel that way? Or you feel lost or directionless? Anybody? When we are weak, in him we find ourselves strong. When we're not sure of the answer, in him we find the way. When we're not sure what to do, in him we find wisdom. When we don't know kind of the way to respond, in him we find, well, the character to be who we're supposed to be. To learn that he is our source. That is why, before we even get to calling out distress, that is why, no matter what you face in life, there's nothing bigger than God. You hear that? There is nothing bigger than him. That is why, no matter what you face in life, you know you can be encouraged in your heart that he is my strength, that he is the one who will see me through. And I love where David goes, calling upon him in worship, worthy to be praised. You know why? Because look at the metaphors that come in verse 2 there. The metaphors about God, describing him in certain ways. That God is a rock. He's unmovable. That God is a fortress. He's a safe place. That in that he is the deliverer. He's the one whom we take refuge. In other words, that this place of refuge is sort of isolated away where God has you. That he's your shield. He protects you. He's the horn of salvation. As a horn makes a noise and it cries out, that God responds with salvation. That he's our stronghold. Again, a place of security. That is who God is. And because of that, he is worthy of my praise. Nehemiah, if you'll throw that first slide up for me, please. Here's what David is saying here. God is the unmovable safe place of deliverance and protection. Let me say that again. God is the unmovable safe place of deliverance and protection. Did you know that? Do I need to remind you of that today? That God is the place where we go, and he is absolutely, positively unmovable. He does not change. And as he is this for David, he is this for me. As he is that way for David, he is that way for you. Unmovable, and in him is absolute safety, deliverance, protection. He will be everything you need in the times of your struggle. But do you look to him? Do you go to him? Do you place yourself within that safe place? And again, David, he gives these metaphors. He's describing God in certain ways. And he said, because of this, he's worthy of my praise. Again, this expression of admiration, this expression of joy because of who he is. The highest regard of our hearts. Do you have your life as an expression of praise because of, well, God is the rock and he's the fortress, he's the refuge, he's the shield, he's the horn of salvation, he's the stronghold. See, David, verse 6, he says, in my distress, again, this is the guy who killed the lion, and he killed the bear, and he killed Goliath, and he's leading a group of men at this time. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried out for help. You've got to see maybe the loneliness that he feels. You got to see there that he feels overwhelmed. You got to see he feels stressed. You got to see he feels anxious. Even David, who did all these great exploits, found himself in an anxious place. See that? Do you realize when you find yourself anxious, you're not in sin? You know that. You know that. But what do you do when you find yourself there? In my distress, he cries out to God. And you see in that cry an anguish of his soul, maybe. He doesn't know what to do. But here's what he knows about God. In that moment, God heard him from his holy temple. And David's cry reached the ears of God. This is why we constantly tell you in your life, always pray first. Time after time, day after day, moment by moment, you cry out to God from your place. And we believe that the God who we cry out to hears us. As a matter of fact, I would tell you, you should cry out to him. You know why some people don't cry out to God? Because we don't have humble hearts. We don't want to fully admit that we need something else. We don't want to fully admit that we can't do this. When you realize at the end of the day that life is bigger than you, it will constantly place you into a place of humility and also submission where you will automatically cry out to God for help. This is where he wants you. And if you can catch this, listen, if you can catch what I'm saying today. Again, we say pray first for a reason. We're trying to let you know, listen, you must be humble and submissive. Because really the moment you try to deal with all the struggles of life by yourself, you're trying to do it man's way, in your own wisdom. That may get you a couple steps, but it's not going to get you the whole way. That is in him we find ultimately everything that we need. Again, the safe place of deliverance and protection. Put it this way. The older I get, and the longer I pastor, And the more my eyes see and the more my ears hear, the more I know that I need him. And I've been doing this for a long time. As a matter of fact, I've come to a place that I realize I need him more now than I did when I first started out in doing this business when I was 23 years old. Wisdom has taught me humility. In other words, I don't think I'm all that a bag of chips. Didn't think much of it in the beginning. Definitely don't think of it now. That my day-by-day life, even when I'm not in the midst of a struggle, and I faced a few, that I need him. Listen to me. You need God on your worst day. You know something? You need him on your best day, too. And if you will learn to come to him in humility, daily put yourself before him. Cry out in your anguish when necessary. We believe that he hears. And he's attentive to us. Don't have to turn there. Let me quote this for you. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe." Amen. We cry out to God simply because of who he is. That we never forget who he is. And that's the big thing. That we never forget who he is. Let me say it again. That we never forget who he is. I love the poetic language we see in verses 7 down through 15, that the earth reeled and it rocked and the foundations of the mountain trembled. This is the God who made it and can shake it if he wants. This is the God that can move anything and shake anything and break anything down that he needs to. Why? Well, as it says later, because he delights in you. Listen to me. Where's that at? Let's look, Nehemiah, let's find that. Verse 19. I want you to put that verse up. Verse 19. It says, "He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me." Why? Because he delighted. He delighted in who? David. Oh, sorry. Okay. He delighted in David. Let me ask you a question. If you read the story of David, was David a perfect man? Now he does go on after that to say that he follows the works and the laws of the Lord, that the cleanness of his heart is righteousness, and we understand that we can't earn it, it's the righteousness of Jesus that we carry. Yeah, David did pretty good on the whole. But was he a perfect man? No, probably after this whole episode, he had some of the worst moments of his life. When you want to talk about sin, adultery, covering up by killing the husband of the guy that he slept with his wife. He wasn't a perfect guy. But yet there's something here that's so true, that David was delighted upon by God simply because, well, he was a man that God made in creation. And delighted upon him in such a way that he heard the cries of the situations of his life and responded. Do you know that God delights in you? Now listen to me. I get it. I know. I'm not perfect. And some of y'all are going to say, if you knew the secret places of my life, you might not make that statement. I don't know the secret places of your life, and let me give you a part B to that. I don't want to know. But you already know who does know and wants to help you take care of it. That's him. And what he sees is the state of your heart, your desire. You turn your desire to him. But the reason you can turn your desire to him and he responds is because, well, he made you, he delights in you. You see that? I don't know. When was the last time you were doing something, you came across a person or something that just kind of made your eyes light up? You know what I'm talking about? You just went, oh, wow, it just caught your attention. When was the last time? I don't know. Do you realize that the way the Lord sees you, that you catch his attention? Now, let me tell you something. In the mysteries of God, some of these things are hard to fathom. So after church, if every single one of you came down to want to ask me a question, y'all wouldn't all get my attention, nor would y'all get an answer. Chances are I might not have talked to any of you, okay? But God is specific in attention to each one of us. It's an unfathomable mystery of the mind of God, his sovereignty. And he hears you very specifically in your moment. It's like that he and you catch his eye and his eyes light up. He delights. And he delights in the fact that you cry out to him. He delights that you come with a humble heart. He delights in the fact that you want him to help you. And he's ever ready, he's ever willing to respond. And watch what David says that he does. Let's go back to verse 16. He sent from on high. Think of this imagery. And he took me. He grabbed hold of me. And he drew me out of many waters, or deep waters, like you were drowning. And he grabbed hold of you and pulled you out of these waters. And by grabbing a hold of you and drawing you out, he rescues you from the situations you find yourself. As David says there at the end of verse 17, these things that were too mighty for me. Amen. That is the God who pays attention to each one of us. That he reaches, he takes hold, and he brings out. And then notice verse 19. He brought me into a broad place, a spacious place. A place not overrun by my situations and my enemies. Open and free, a broad place. Nehemiah, that second slide, please. To say this then, that God is not indifferent to us. He reaches down and he takes hold of us. Amen. Now here's the thing about this. How God does this, in the fashion that he does it, in the ways that he rescues us, in the timing that he rescues us, is all in his wisdom. But just know something. God will never allow you not to be grown. Hear that. God will never allow you not to be matured. How many of you have ever helped your kid through something, but just simply did not do it for them? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know that there's ways that God does that. He gives you wisdom. He'll begin to show you the way. He may work a couple things out. But if you're a good parent, you want your kid to grow. You want your kid to mature. You want your kid to learn to handle it. That's often the way God deals with us in our struggles. He doesn't come in like a genie that you rub the lamp three times and you get three wishes and it just, and he just takes all your problems away. Now you get to live the rest of your life in a problem-free environment. That doesn't happen. But the entire time that he's with you, the moments that you fall down, he'll pick you back up and put you back on your feet, dust you off a little bit. You know why you fell down? You didn't listen to me back there. Let's keep going. Lord, I don't know what to do here. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the next step if you trust me. But he doesn't just take it all away. You see? Yes, there are moments where God intervenes in supernatural and powerful ways, but a lot of life is God trying to direct you through to grow you and mature you. And in those moments, he's your help and he's your rescue, because even if you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't leave you there. But he guides you through. And let me tell you something about the valley of the shadow of death. If you ever find yourself there, once you get out on the other side, you will be stronger. And you will be more mature. And the whole time you probably realize, I didn't make it through without him, but this is part of what he's doing with me. Helping me. Changing me. He has intention for me. Therefore, he's my safe place. And I cry out to him. But this is who God is. Now, in the midst of this, just remember, in verse 20, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Now, I want you to understand something. Don't just cry out to God when you find yourself in a mess. Do so. But in the midst of life, regardless of where you find yourself, understand that you must be paying attention to the state of your heart the whole time. I think what we like to do, we like to try to just kind of buzz through life and make it, okay? And when things get tough, we cry out to him and want his help, okay. But in the midst of just trying to buzz through life and make it, are you attentive to him that he can work on the state of your heart too? Are you concerned about the cleanness of what your hands do? Or you just go to him when you need something. You see? See, part of what David understands is, look, yes, God is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's all of these things. But yet, he wants my heart more than anything. And yes, he'll help me in my day of trouble, but he wants my heart. He wants me to learn what it means to follow him. And see that to the pure, he shows himself pure. He responds. See, we know who he is, but then when we learn to respond in the same way, in our learning of faithfulness, then that's how he responds to us. But to the wicked, he shows himself shrewd. They'll see it in a torturous way, as the ESV says. God wants your heart. As much as he will help you, he wants your heart. Because ultimately, that's what matters at the end of the day. Amen? Yep, God's not indifferent to you. If you will learn that, you will learn how to encourage yourself in him. You don't have to wait for somebody else to pray for you, though they can and should and will. You don't got to wait for a prophet to come to town and give you a word. Nothing wrong with that. You yourself know that God's not indifferent to you, and that when you cry out to him, that he absolutely hears you. He'll start to grab hold of you and draw you into the safe place. Why am I still going through it? He's teaching you some stuff. You're growing, you're maturing, you're learning. Necessary. Amen? Amen. How about we stand up on our feet? Let me close out today. How many of you feel like it just doesn't stop? You know what I mean? How many feel like that? Anybody? It just doesn't stop. And now I want to be honest with you. I want everybody to just kind of raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to see. Put them up real quick. Now, I want everybody in the room to look around. See that? You're not alone. You think it's just me. It's just me. Why is life picking on me? Look, there's a whole lot of people that feel like it just doesn't stop. You're not alone. See that? But God sees it too. And there's a reason you're still here going. Because maybe he's been propping you up a little more than you thought. Maybe he's been helping your steps a little more than you thought. Maybe you're closer to that breakthrough than you think. See. Here's what I'd like to do. I'll just take a moment to minister to some of you this morning. Samara, if you would, please. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just come today. We know you're with us, but I pray in these next few moments that you speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Everybody just take a moment to listen. To what the Holy Spirit would say to you today. I think if you hear him today, he's encouraging you. Thank you. thinking the other day, something came up, and it's concerning ministry, and I thought, man, I would love to talk to Pastor about this. Now, most of you know that Pastor Dosey passed away at the end of last year. So, man, I'd love to talk to him about this, just to get a perspective, you know? And I thought, well, I can't. And see, in all the years, so I started with, I only believe I was 27 years old, still kind of green with this whole ministry thing, about 27. I just remember certain times throughout the years where I'd be like, Pastor, what's the deal with this? And his response would always be, look, it's all right. As a matter of fact, this is normal. I'm like, really? This is normal? This is dumb. No, it's normal. It's normal. And he's the guy that always, if you're up here, he'd always bring you down here. He'd never get excitable about nothing. He's very calm, you know? And I was thinking the other day what this was. I was like, yeah, it'd been fun to talk to him about this. But the perspective hit me, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you if you listen to Him. He will take you from feeling up here like, bah! Yeah, and He'll go, whoa. If you let Him, He'll bring it down. And it's not like it's whatever you were going, about is gone, but He'll let you know, believe it or not, this is normal. It's life. You're not the only one who goes through this. And I've got you. I hear you. I'm not indifferent. And some of you need to listen to Him in that way. Well, He can take you when you're up here going, I don't, and go, and bring it down. That you can catch that breath. Okay. God is gonna see me through. No bones about it. I trust. Listen to me. Do you trust Him? Yes. Now see, when I would talk to Pastor about stuff, I trusted His wisdom because He's way further down the road than I was in actual ministry. So He had wisdom. Do you trust God with your life? That you, if this is the hand of God, it's you're right here. Right here. He's not grasping at you and, oh, I missed you. Sorry. There you are plummeting down into the depths. You're right here. That's why when the Bible says that when you present your request to God, Philippians 4, that a peace that passes all understanding. Now watch what it does. It guards your heart, who you are, the seed of your nature, your being, and your mind, which generally goes crazy, guards your heart and your mind in Him with the peace that passes all understanding. Why? I'm in my situation, I've given it to God, and I'm right here. So I can de-escalate the whole thing in my heart. I can de-escalate it in my mind because He's got me. And you trust Him that way. You see that? You know why I don't get riled up about life much anymore? I gave up and total abandoned trust to God a long time ago. God, you just do what you need to do. I know you got me. It's going to be okay. See that? And I'm not worried about my tomorrow. I'm not worried about my next year. I'm going to plan. I'm going to work hard. But I'm not worried about it. because I know the God whom I trust, he has me. He's unmovable. He's a fortress. My shield, horn of salvation. And I praise him. Even when life's not going great, I praise him. Because he got me. You trust him that way. Your whole heart. So here's how I'd like to close out today. Now, I'm going to dismiss so you can get on with your Father's Day stuff, whatever it is. By the way, dads, you're amazing. Keep doing a good job. You're doing a lot better than you probably give yourself credit for. None of us are perfect, but you're doing a good job. Keep loving your kids. Keep raising them into things for the Lord. Now, as Paul writes, don't exasperate your kids. Don't put heavy loads on them for the sake of heavy loads. Right? But keep training them up. Amen? But if you're in that spot where you're just like, I don't know what to do, I do want to pray with you before you go. Okay? So I'm going to ask Samara to play something if that's you come down. And after we have some people down here, if you're free to go and enjoy your day. Be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday. By the way, it's supposed to be ripping hot this week. And as you know, our building struggles with the air a little bit. We'll see how Wednesday goes. But we are planning Wednesday when service is done to have a fire pit outside with some hot dogs and s'mores. All right, so we'll go out and do that. But anyways, be here Wednesday night. Next Sunday, come on back. But if you would just like prayer for that today, come on down right now. Let me see. Anybody, you just don't feel like you know what to do or where to go. You're at a dead end. Come on down here and let me pray for you. All right? But be blessed as you go. Anybody else this morning?